please, and open them to Hebrews chapter 12, please. Hebrews chapter 12. We'll start there. And this is, again, it's kind of a message for the people of our church. I used to do this message every fall, but I haven't done it for 4 years. I thought, good grief, I need to teach on this again. I thought, well, the first of the year, this is a great time to teach on ministering within the body, and a challenge for you. And hopefully it can encourage you, and you can think about where you fit in here and what's all transpiring here. So let's have a word of prayer. I would mention as well, I think Sarah Roxer is still in the hospital in Macon, Georgia. She's been in there for over 30 days. You keep praying for Sarah Roxer and for Dennis and Nancy, because he's trying to teach, as well as he goes over there every night and spends the night with her, and Nancy goes every day and spends the day with her. They're exhausted and they're burned out. So please pray for them, and they're asking for prayer in light of all of that. So I just want to mention Sarah as well. Let's pray for her and them right now. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your grace, and thank you this morning for the opportunity to teach, to challenge the people of our church as to where they are in ministering in the body here. We give thanks again for the Lord Jesus Christ, for dying on the cross to pay for our sins so that we could be saved by the grace of God. We could be part of a local body of believers. We could plug in, Father, and use our spiritual gifts for the glory of God. But we just want to know more about that this morning. So again, as I teach, I trust people would be encouraged, challenged as to where they're at in regards to these things. We pray again as we think of Sarah Roxer, Father, and Dennis and Nancy. Uphold them by the grace of God in Georgia. I pray for his service this afternoon. I don't know if he's teaching or if someone has stepped up to help him teach. I know there are some men there who can do that. But we're praying again that Sarah can go home. She's had a number of issues, a number of relapses. And again, we want you to undertake there by the grace of God. Myself as well, with this sciatic pain down my right leg and in my back. And I pray about that, Father, as well as my wife who took a fall here about a week and a half ago and hit her face and hit her head, and she's looking tough. But at the same time, things are getting better. All things are working together for good. We're not going to faint. We're going to keep on keeping on by the grace of God. We thank you now. We commit our time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, friends, if you're open to Hebrews 12, that's where I want you to be. Good to see you all this morning. Happy New Year to everyone. This is a great chance for me to teach on something I haven't taught on for 4 years, that I try to usually do every year sometime to challenge you as to where you're at with all of this. So today we're going to consider ministering within the body of Christ right here at Grace Gospel Bible Church. We often pull everyone together, usually at the beginning of the school year, to get people to see the big picture of what Christ is doing with his church and how he wants to use you as a member of his body to serve and minister as well. Since we haven't done this for a number of years, I thought New Year's Day would be a good chance to go over this, and we'll jump back into 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 next week. We'll get back to that. So as we begin, my objective is to have you consider seeing the need to minister. To minister. What does it mean to minister? Ministry is service. God wants you to serve, and we're going to look at that. So this is a simple concept again, and I'm asking you to consider a number of things today from the Bible, again, not from my opinion. I have no plan for you, but God does have a plan for you and for this church. As the pastor of the Grace Gospel Bible Church for the last 22 years, our church has definitely grown and become more complex than when I first came. And this is good, as we have had our ups and downs over the years. God has been working, no doubt about that, and the church has grown. We've added ministries and opportunities to serve in those ministries, as there have been people matured to fill in ministries and to serve here over the years at Grace Gospel Bible Church. Sometimes people don't always know what's going on or where they could fit in. Boy, I'd like to be involved. I just don't know what I could do here at Grace Gospel Bible Church. So let me tell you, in case you did know, some of the things here at Grace Gospel Bible Church that's going on. We have a nursery, friends. A nursery where parents can put their younger kids during our service so they can come and hear the Word of God and without distraction. It's kind of nice to do that. It's tough if we had the kids here. They'd be running around, squeaking, making noises, distracting people. And this is bad. So we have a nursery for that. And I'm just thankful for everyone who's willing to serve in the nursery. Actually, last time I had a ministry meeting, I think I got down on my knees and I bowed down to the ministry people because I just thought, boy, I really am thankful for ministry people in the nursery. These are people that just kind of come and go, and they in the nursery, and we don't see them, and a lot of people are involved in that ministry, and so I just want you to know that it's been going okay there. There's been a few bumps along the way as we've changed our leadership. Val Muths has taken over this. If this is something you'd like to do, and we oftentimes let people get into the nursery, they don't have to be here forever to get in the nursery. If you want to help out in there, if you're a teenager who's mature enough to be under, take some direction, and be responsible instead of just goofing off, we'd love to have you part of that ministry. So think about that, and that's possibly something that would work for you. Secondly, we have a Sunday school. We have three classes. We have Little Explorers, K-3 through K, I believe. If I'm wrong on this, we still have three classes. A Pioneer, grades 1 through 3, and Ambassadors, grades 4 through 6. We have a number of people involved here, so no one person has to do it all, and nor can they do it all. Joe Guggenberger has been the Sunday school superintendent for a number of years, overseeing the classes. And what is taught and who teaches? If you're interested, let Joe know of your interest, and we'll wait and see when an opening comes and we can fit you in. We'd like to have you serve in the Sunday school there, okay? So we have a young people's group. We've attempted to have a young people's group for some of the older Sunday school kids and teenagers to meet together, as their needs differ from those of the younger Sunday school age kids. Those involved have produced a Young People's Gazette, a newsletter. I don't know if you've ever gotten a newsletter, but they email it out to the kids that are involved in Young People's, I think every other month. I'm not sure how many times that comes out, but Eric and Aaron oversee all of that, and I'm real thankful for that. If you would like to talk to them and get a Young People's Gazette, they'd love to send you one. Plus, they're always looking for people who would be willing to sit down and write an article, something that you could share at a young person's level and be involved, and you could certainly do that. They would love to have that. Otherwise, the burden always falls on them or falls on the same people who write all the time. So you could talk to Eric and Aaron about that. So again, they've got some plans for the young people this fall, as well as the adult young people. They have some plans for that as well. So again, young people's, or the adult young people's, which I didn't put on here this morning, is an opportunity for you. We have ushers. And the ushers are the people that come early and set up the auditorium. They greet people. When they come, they direct them to whatever their needs happen to be, the nursery, the Sunday school, the bathrooms, etc. They, as well as other volunteers, set up and take down the gym so that it is ready for the Avail Academy on Monday to meet their needs. The ushers are the ones who count the offering on Sunday. They do so with a system of checks and balances to ensure the money is handled discreetly. It's deposited in the bank promptly. The ushers would appreciate any help you could give them by lending a hand, either before or after. And even sometimes their kids come and set up chairs beforehand, and sometimes those older kids want to grab three or four chairs and they can barely handle one, but you know, they want to be as strong as the next bigger kid, and so they're in competition. And I appreciate, again, all of that goes on. But anyone can serve in this capacity at any time. You don't need to be a usher to lend a hand. You can jump in at any time. If you see a need, just step up and help, okay? As well as we have the music ministry, which uses those who are interested in ministering via music. Whether you play an instrument or are talented in carrying a tune and making a joyful sound in your singing, some organize all of this or lead our choir or find people to sing specials, especially when we introduce a new song. It's kind of nice to have an ensemble up here or someone come up here, sing the new song. We haven't had one for a while, but at the same time, there's always an opportunity to do that. So we used to have a song for the month quite often for a while back. But the piano players are Aaron Plemmel, Louise Jensen, and Essa Novak. So those are the three that play. If you can play, would like to play, let Aaron or myself know. We'd love to have you. We'd like to have as many people involved as possible. So I would just say that Nathan usually picks most of the songs on Sunday morning. I usually pick the last song. When Nathan's gone this morning, I pick the Wednesday night songs. And otherwise, Nathan does that. I'm trying to spread this out a little bit so I don't have to do it all and get more people involved with that. We have a media ministry as well. Craig and company over there and his team over there, we appreciate very much. Made up of those that set up and monitor the sound system, record the messages, then post them to the website. Then they have to graciously take it all down. So again, we're appreciative of them, and if you can help in some regards, especially after church, if you've got some time, instead of just standing around and talking all the time, and oh, that's important as well. I'm not trying to say it's not, but you know, people are need a helping hand, picking up a chair, putting them in the racks, and getting it all picked up, putting the piano away, and everything. So it's just appreciate again that everyone that's involved here. But Craig tapes the messages and sets the sound system up and gets it all in balance, and then I just come in here and sit down and get my computer out, and I'm ready to go, which is, I appreciate that very, very much. We also have a kitchen ministry here as well. It oversees the potlucks and picnics. Those involved see that it gets set up. If you want to be part of this ministry, and that we're stocked with supplies on those days that we have a potluck or we have a picnic, they get it organized, they keep us in supplies, and they help clean up afterwards. Those are the responsibilities of the kitchen, because usually when there's a potluck going on, there's a bunch of ladies that just go in there and help. And ladies, you're welcome to do that. So we're not trying to discourage that, but we do need a leader that can lead that team. And again, Renee has asked to be excused, so we're still looking for someone that would be able to do that. And it takes a lot of time for her, some extra time. She's very, very busy at home with this home business. And so if you'd like to do that, please step up, let us know. We'd like to have you involved in those ministries. So here's a number of ministries that are going on in the church here, and we're just not trying to stick people any place. Whatever would interest you and that maybe you could do or avenue to think about this and to mention this here. So many people set up and help in many of these ministries who do not necessarily, they're not on any particular ministry team, but that just want to help in any way they can. Now in the summer we have Vacation Bible School. Again, there's people involved there. Summer Bible camps that people volunteer for and are involved in. And of course the governing board made up of Joe Guggenberger, Nate Croman, who is the treasurer of the church, and myself here. What's the point here, Dave? Well, this is my point right here. No one person can do it all. Whew, am I glad to hear that, okay? There's a real need within the body of Christ for you to be involved if you see that need, if you want to be involved. And I'm here today to challenge you about that very issue here, okay? Now, this is kind of an abrupt statement here, so just kind of take this with a grain of salt and don't let me blow you away. Pastor Radke, who started this whole thing in Minnesota with the Iron Range, then Duluth, and then the other ministries that go along. Pastor Radke used to say, and he said this many times, there are two kinds of people in the church. Those who step up and are involved in ministering within the body, and then there are those who stand back or stand by and let everybody else do it all. And he used to say, and you're in one group or the other. Okay, now he said that, and I'm just trying to challenge you to think about that, where you're at in light of this, okay? And sometimes people think, you know, I don't need to do it. I'll let somebody else do it. I'm too old to do that. Or I'm not going to be involved. You know, I've kind of been here long enough. I want you to know that I still pick up oftentimes this table and this equipment and put it away afterwards. So I've been doing it for years, and no one's too old. No one's beyond that. And again, you need to think about, if you want to minister here, you need to get involved. Okay. Years ago, I came down here and began to lead the church, and I was kind of doing everything. It was overwhelming. I said to Pastor Roxer one day, I just sense I'm overwhelmed, Dennis. And he had to remind me. He said, David, you were in over your head when you left here. I thought, wow, that was good to hear. I needed to hear that. I was in over my head. So again, like Moses trying to do it all, his father-in-law had to tell him, why don't you share this with other people? That's exactly what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get you involved and give you an opportunity to minister here as well by the grace of God. So as I think of all these ministries going on, what makes the church function as it does, and what do we need to consider? Well, secondly, on your handout, we need to consider looking to our commander-in-chief first and foremost. And here we are in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Let's look to the commander-in-chief. Always a wise thing to do when you're going to do some ministry. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, that's chapter 11, let us, the Hebrew believers and the writer of this book, whoever he was, lay aside every weight and the sin which easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Let's get involved. How do we do that? By looking unto Jesus. He's the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. The joy? What was the joy? He endured the cross. That was joy? Yes, because he died for you and me. The despising and the shame, and he has now sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, in all of this, we need to be looking unto Jesus, Hebrews 12, 1. As we think of the local church here, and we are a local church, which is part of the universal church, but again, since the universal church can't meet in this gym this morning, we are meeting here as a local church. So let's look at for a minute the makeup or the structure of a local church. Who's really in charge here? Dave, are you in charge? Oh, no, I'm not in charge. I'm not the head of the church. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. He is the chief shepherd. And that's why Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says we need to be looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. But then a local church is made up of elders, shepherds, leaders that oversee the local body of believers. There are deacons who are assistants to the elders, and we have deacons here. And then there's the spiritually gifted congregation that I'm trying to get you involved and use your gifts for the glory of God. And many of you have stepped up even with just odd things that, you know, we don't even have a position for, but you've stepped up even during the Christmas program. Thank you for those that did that. So we have a spiritually gifted congregation. We want people to be involved here. We're reminded of what Jesus said in Matthew 16, 18. He said, I will build my church. Whose church is it? It's Christ's church first and foremost, not mine, although I pastor here. I am part of the body of Christ here. And this is important. So again, when you get saved, you become part of the universal church, which is the body of Christ. Every believer has been baptized and placed into the body of Christ. But again, who's in charge here? And this is the thing that all of us need to keep in mind here as we think of this. We need to realize again that all of us need to be, I thought I had it working here. Probably didn't get my pen going. All of us need to be looking again to Jesus Christ, don't we? He's in charge, and that's why we need to keep our heads up, our heads pointed towards the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to check in with him because we want to know that he is really running the show here and he has a plan and purpose. I don't have a plan and purpose for you, so if you're here, you should be looking unto Jesus wherever you are in this body. Okay, he is the head. He is the one that's in charge of this church, and that's very, very important there. Now, what did I do with my... Gosh, I'm losing my mind here. Let's go to the next point here. Secondly, you need to consider Christ's attitude in coming. What was Christ's attitude here in coming? And attitude is key in this, friends. No doubt about that. So we see here in Matthew, and this is in Matthew 20, 28, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto... Notice, but he came to do what? He came to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. So Jesus Christ didn't come and say, now look at me. Aren't I important? I'm important. He is no doubt important. He's the basis of the fact that we have a church. But he came to minister. He came to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. There's no doubt about that. So we want to keep that in mind, and we want to understand about that. Okay, how many did he have in mind? He came for, it says here, many. Some translations say for all, because he wants all to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, but all are not saved and have not come to the knowledge of the truth. Okay? So as we think of that again, and this verse is mentioned here in Matthew 20, 28, service is what he came for, and to give his life a ransom on the cross for many. So he came to serve. It's the Greek word diakona, and it means to be a servant, an attendant, to serve, to wait upon, to wait at a table. Jesus Christ is seen here as a table waiter, to offer food and drink to the guests, to be a servant to others, to be a table waiter for you and for me. And this is in the active voice, which means he chose to do that, friends, for you and me. So again, as we look to the commander-in-chief and we want to see his perspective on this, this is absolutely important. Then again in Luke 22, 27, who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Jesus says, is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as one who serves. And here he's washing their stinking feet the night before he was going to go to the cross. And this is an amazing benefit for you and for me that we need to keep in mind. If the Lord of glory had this attitude, perhaps we should have this attitude as well. And this should be true at every level of structure here in the local church here. Again, who's in charge? The Lord Jesus Christ is in charge, but all of us need to be submitting to him and serving him as the Word of God dictates to us and tells us what to do here, okay? So I've got some verses here on PowerPoint I'm going to share with you. Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us. Now the word for here is the Greek word hupar. It means on behalf of us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people. That's you and me, friends. Notice the purpose here, that we would be zealous for good works in our life. God wants us to serve. Good works follow salvation. They're not the means to salvation. Thus, he served us in his coming via the cross, so that we could serve others by means of his Spirit. And that's, if you're not spiritual, you're not going to be controlled by the Spirit of God. Because his love now motivates and produces a life of good works in the Christian life. And that's why we sometimes show this, the proper place of good works. You know, can you work to go to heaven? No, you can't work to go to heaven. Christ had to come and die on the cross for you. And you need to put your faith in him on that cross. Thus you enter salvation not by your works, but by God's grace. Grace means God does it for you and gives it to you. You don't have to work to go to heaven because Jesus did all the work. And you can just faith rest in his finished work and know you're going to heaven because he died for you. Now, in light of the fact that you're saved now and have the Holy Spirit indwelling you, because without the Spirit of God, we really can't do works that are going to count for eternity. I'm going to show you that in just a few minutes. But again, what does the Word of God have in mind for you now? He wants you to produce a life of good works as you walk in faith and depend upon him. That's how this works. So, again, you're not saved by your good works, but we're saved to do good works. We're saved to serve, just like Christ did for us. And this next passage of Scripture here, 2 Corinthians 5:14 and 15 says it well. For the love of Christ compels us. Notice, what is it? It's the love of Christ that motivates, compels. Because we judge thus, that if one died for all, and he did, then all who believe in him have died. And he died for all, that those who now live in Christ should live no longer for themselves selfishly, but for him who died for them and rose again. So here we got a guy here standing here. We should no longer live for ourselves, because by nature we are full of self-love, self-pride, self-will, self-pity. It's all about me. And it's really not about you. It's about our commander-in-chief, it's about Jesus Christ. So when we identified with Christ, when we believed in Christ, we died with Christ. We were buried with Christ. And we are risen with Christ. And now we are to use our life not for self, but for Him who died for us on that cross. I trust you can understand and you can note that for yourself here. Okay? Secondly, we need to consider His mindset in serving. In Philippians chapter 2, let's turn there. Let's go back to Philippians chapter 2. And in the first 8 verses, a lot is said here. Let's read verses 1 and 2, first of all, Philippians 2. Therefore, if there be any consolation in Christ, and there is, if any comfort and love, and there is, if any fellowship of the Spirit, and there is, if any affection and mercy, and there is, fulfill my joy, Paul says, by being like-minded. Think like I think, Paul is saying right here. Having the same mind, being of the one accord and one mind. That's great. That's really good. That's understandable. That's what we need to understand. Verse 3, let nothing be done through selfish ambition. You saw that last slide. Or conceit. It's all about me. But in lowliness of mind, notice the humility there, let each esteem others better than himself. Now, you need the love of Christ and to do that, because by nature, I'm always thinking about Dave and what I want. Catch a bigger fish, go hunting, do this, do that, take care of myself. And yet God's got me in a place where I'm serving a body, serving my wife and taking care of her, and I have to look beyond that. And I have to keep thinking spiritually minded. I have to have the mindset of serving my Christian life. Lowliness of mind is humility. Thus, we are to esteem. The word is hegeomai. It means to lead, to have authority over, to consider, to deem or to account or to think well of others. It's in the present tense. I need to keep on doing that. Okay? Look at verses 4. Get my thing going here. Verses 4 and 5. Let's read those verses here. Okay? Let each of you not look only on his own interests, and that is true. We do look for our own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you as we think of others, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's what's important there. We need to be thinking about the mind of Christ in light of these things. So where did this mindset, again, as we think of Jesus Christ here, where did this mindset lead him? It led him to the cross of Calvary, didn't it? He sacrificed his own life on the cross. He died there for you and me so that, paid a terrible price so that we could be saved by the grace of God. Okay? Let's read 6 through 8. Okay? Who being in the form of God, did not think it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross here. Even the death of the cross here. So what are we thinking about? Now, I showed you this PowerPoint slide here not too long ago on Philippians, on the condensation when God stepped down here. Jesus Christ was God, but he made himself of no reputation, took the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of man, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He humbled himself. Thus, we need to have a humble spirit if we're going to have his mindset and think like he thinks. Now, because he thought that way, God has highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that every knee should bow one day and that every tongue should confess. What should they confess? That Jesus is the Lord, and this will be for the glory of God the Father here. This is very, very important to understand. Again, Jesus Christ humbled himself so that you could be saved by the grace of God, that you could be, again, now able to save others. Thus, God has exalted him. And I believe God exalts us because once we're saved, we're a child of God. We are every spiritual blessing going for us. And that's why on that cross, he redeemed us. 1 Peter says, we were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. He paid a ransom price for you and a ransom price for me. Number three on your handout, let's consider the biblical solution to the present need. You know, our greatest need is to be rescued or delivered from condemnation by God. And that's why that last slide here talks about redemption. God has redeemed us. He paid a price. The price was his own blood, his own life on Calvary's cross there. So again, as I think of that, I think of salvation, which he's provided. He's provided salvation in three tenses, okay? First of all, in a past tense here, took place here, again, we could draw it right here on this line, at a point in time when we put our faith alone in Christ alone, who paid for our sins once and for all. We were saved, we were justified, we were born again, we were, well, here's the word right here, justification took place. God declared you righteous, friends. But immediately we entered into the Christian life phase two here, okay? And here we became a believer in time, from the point of time we trusted Christ. Now we have an old sin nature which wants to put me first, plus we have the Holy Spirit which wants to glorify Jesus Christ. So I need to feed my faith by ongoing teaching from the Word of God. And as I learn the Word of God, I can be a believer in time. I can go from this point of time when I first got saved, and I can spiritually mature to another point of time, which will be glorification, phase three in the future, either by death or by rapture. I'm going to go and stand before the Lord, and I'm going to give an account of my life there before the Lord. This is very, very important here, okay? So as we think of this, as we think of concerning the biblical solution to the need, the first one is the importance of a body concept. Let's go back, take a left, and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 in your Bible, okay? You know, once saved, we are spiritually baptized and we're placed into the body of Christ. And no one can do it all in the body of Christ. And this teaches us the importance of a body concept in Scripture. Let's look here at 1 Corinthians 12, 12 and 13. Let's read through 14. I've got it right here on the PowerPoint here. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of the body being many are one body, so also is Christ. In other words, the physical body is likened to the body of Christ. How'd this happen? For by one Spirit we were all baptized or had identified into that one body, whether we were Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free. And we've been all made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but is made up of many members. So again, God is building this body called the church, the universal church, expressed in local churches like Grace Gospel Bible Church or wherever you attend on a regular basis. But again, God wants us to have a body concept here as we think of that. One body with many members, all are needed and all are important. This is especially true here at Grace Gospel Bible Church, our own local church. It is a manifestation of the local church. And if saved, you're part of the body of Christ, which means that you have the privilege of being involved in some specific aspect of the of Christ's church or body. And I'd like to thank all of you who are involved and who do step up at different times. Okay, let's look at verses 15 through 18 now. If the foot should say, now this is the foot's part of the body, because I'm not a hand, should I say that I'm not part of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? No, it's part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? Okay. And if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? And if the whole were a hearing, where would the smelling be? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body as he pleased. So God has placed us all in the body, and we all have a place to fit in. And we've all been baptized into this body. And here we were lost, a lost sinner at one time, and we had to trust Christ, and we believed in Jesus Christ, and we were baptized, and now placed into the body of Christ. Notice we are all connected to the head, to the Lord Jesus Christ here. But yet we're connected to one another. So we're trying to fit in here, and there can be friction in the flock. from time to time. And I don't want to have friction in the flock. I want us to use our spiritual gifts by the glory, by the grace of God, you know. He served us so that we could get saved, number one, here. In return, we are to serve him and others in the body of Christ. And when part of the body doesn't show up or is carnal in its thinking, the rest of the body is handicapped to that extent. Now, you can ask my wife about what it means when your right arm doesn't show up. It's not a good thing. Remember, friends, this hand washes this hand. Did you notice that when you wash your hands? Try washing your hands with one hand. It's a little more difficult. It doesn't work out. That's why people are handicapped sometimes, and they can't do what they used to be able to do because of her strokes. That part of her body isn't showing up. It doesn't work anymore. And that's what we need to be thinking about here in the body of Christ. We want people to show up. We want people to be involved. We want people to step up by the grace of God. And this is very important. So this is true of people working in the nursery, working in the Sunday school, being an usher, or other members of the congregation. It's even true of the pastor and the governing board. I need to show up. If I was stayed at home and used my gift and, you know, pontificated to the plants in my living room, how would that help you this morning? It wouldn't help you at all. But I came here to serve and to give you and to teach you something this morning so that maybe it can help you to think beyond yourself to get a bigger picture of what's going on. I'm here for you, and I hope you're here for me and for each other in the body, just as this illustration sets forth for us right here. So as a local body, the leadership is always looking for people that they can use. What kind of people are we looking for here at Grace Gospel Bible Church? We're looking for fat people, not physically fat people. What do I mean by that, Pastor? What do you mean by that? You know, the local body here, fat people. Well, first of all, faithful, people who are faithful. Are you faithful? Can we depend upon you? We'd like to use people who faithfully attend and consider themselves part of the body of Christ here. We don't have an official membership here at Grace Gospel Bible Church because the Bible nowhere talks about official membership in the Scriptures. If you're in the body, you're in. If you're saved, you're in. If you come, you're in. That's how I look at it, and that's how we should look at it in my thinking. We'd like you to be faithful and come on Wednesdays and Sundays service if possible, but all can't sometimes come because some people live farther out, some people work late, some people work shifts, and I understand that you have your kids to consider, and I understand all of that, okay? But as well as faithful, we're looking for people who are available. We're looking for available people. Are you available? Are you a regular attender at Grace Gospel Bible Church? If you come only on Sunday or once every 6 weeks, or the day you have an assignment or a ministry, say you're in the nursery or you teach Sunday school, then when are you nourished and built up in the faith? When am I able to teach you the things about the Word of God that you need to establish and to nourish you by the grace of God? And if you're not coming on a regular basis, then you are handicapped to the extent that you're missing out on the teaching that I could have given you or you could have heard and you could have been part of, but you miss out on. So, and you will wind up defaulting to your flesh, doing your own thing, going your own direction, going your own way, okay? And in light of that, we may not ask those who don't regularly attend to be involved in certain ministries, as you're not always available and dependable in that regard. Now, that doesn't mean you can't ever not be here, you know? Everybody has to not be here, it seems sometimes. Even I'm gone once in a while, you know? You notice that, so I'm not saying you can't take a weekend off or you can't go away. You certainly can. But are you faithful in your attendance? Is God's word a priority in your thinking? Are you being nourished spiritually so that you are equipped to serve here in the body in some aspect of ministry here at Grace Gospel Bible Church? And this brings us to the third point here. We're looking for faithful, available, and teachable people that we can use here. Are you willing to be under and taught yourself? This is important. This needs to be evident in you in order to be involved or even to be over others in some ministry here. Teachability tells me that you haven't arrived but are still learning. It tells me you're kind of like me. You know, I haven't arrived. I'm still learning. I'm not absolutely perfect. And either are you. And either are you. And that's why we're all here and we're all in the process of growing and becoming more like Jesus Christ. I am as well as you are. So nobody has arrived here. That's very important. And then God likes to use nobodies who get saved and then depend upon Him. Then He can use a nobody like you or me in His plan, like He did with the 11 disciples, Paul and his companions in the book of Acts. A bunch of nobodies that got saved, that God used there. God used them through His power and by His Spirit. And when this is true of us, then He uses the local church as He intended. And He gets the glory, and that's what He wants. God wants to be glorified. So again, as we function here, and just use the Christmas program for a minute, as we can back up to that. It took a lot of people involved to do that Christmas program. And if you're part of a local church, I'm sure that was true where you are as well. And yet people working in the background, some people you didn't even see, were part of that just so that program could come off. And in our practice, we just thought, oh my gosh, this is a terrible practice. What are we going to do? Grace pulled it together. But practice means you go through it and you see where you're weak and then you pray and look to the Lord so that He can pull it off and He gets the glory. I know that, and I trust you know that as well, that God gets the glory because He did it all. Doesn't mean that there weren't people that were involved. There certainly were people involved. There's no doubt about that, okay? You know, I'd like to look at my notes here for just a second again. We need His power. And that was the mindset of the Lord in Philippians 2, to do the Father's will and to save sinners. And this is usually how it works in the secular world. You start at an entry level and you work your way up. You know, you think you've got a 4-year degree. You think you should start at 100 grand. You're deceived. You know, you got to start at an entry level. Show them what you're made of and then work your way up. That's the way it goes. That's the way it worked in the military. That's when I joined the military. That's what I found out. I was a buck private. Didn't know anything, stand straight. I couldn't even stand straight. They had to teach me how to stand at attention. But slowly, over the years, when I left the Guards, I was an E5, a buck sergeant, and I worked my way up a little bit. And that's the way it goes, friends. Okay? And that's how I started at DBC as well. Just a nobody who got saved, was part of the body there seeking to serve the Lord faithfully wherever I could. So God in His grace brought me along. There were times when Pastor Roxer had to pull me over and address an issue to keep me on track. And I needed to take it. By the grace of God, I did take it and learn from it. Sometimes I thought, what is he doing? You know, that's how people are when you try to tell them something and give them some insight. They don't always take it well. And when you don't take it well, that speaks volumes about you because you think you know better than everyone else does. And again, friends, I'm going to challenge you. Isn't this how it works where you work? You start at an entry level and you work your way up. If you do well, you're promoted, okay? So don't faint. If I need to say something to you, we should be able to talk about whatever we have to talk about together in hopes of getting everyone back on track and striving together for the sake of the gospel. And if you have a suggestion on how to do something better, I'd like to hear it. But before you make a change to do something that you think is better, you need to ask me because I might say, you know, we tried that 6 years ago or 10 years ago and it didn't work. So just run it by me. That's all I'm asking. Run it by me. Let me know. I'd like to be in the loop. I don't have to make every decision, but I'd like to know what's going on somewhat. I mean, I'm just the pastor here. I don't know everything. And sometimes people do things and I think, wow, you know, it's amazing to me. So let me repeat that. If you want to do something here at Grace Gospel Bible Church, please run it by me first before you do it. Is that what I'm asking? Okay? Let's talk about it before you do it. I'd like to hear your thoughts. Then you won't have to get mad about something you thought was a good idea, but I didn't. and I shot you down. So let's, if we talk at first, it takes the heat right off there, okay? Secondly, consider the importance of service rendered. Service rendered here. Service, again, is really just ministry of some kind. Here's Warren Wiersbe's definition of ministry. Ministry takes place when divine resources meets human needs through loving channels to the glory of God. Ministry or service takes place when divine resources, spirit-filled and motivated believers, meet human needs, those within the body or those in your sphere of influence, through loving channels. God's love must motivate us here by His Spirit. If it is to come, we need to be spirit-controlled. Or, for the glory of God, this is our objective. It's never about what I want. It's about what God wants, and if we want to just work together, let's do that. Here's a great pace picture here, you know, and this could be said right here in our church. This is an amazing thing. Here's people, these are the backers, and here's the slackers up here, sitting up here. The pastor's trying to direct. He says, I don't see why they don't put cushions on these seats. Now, that could be said right here. Why don't you get seats with cushions? We bring in a building. That's the first thing I'm going to buy is good seats. Let me know. Tell you right now, okay? So you can either be part of the problem or you can be part of the solution. And I want you to be part of the solution. I'm for you. But I sometimes point this out. Sometimes people just get really offended when I do this. And if you're offended, then the problem is with you. Just take it. Just learn from it. That's what you need to think about here, okay? But let's look at some verses here to back this up. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do it for Him, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Thanks, Lord, for the opportunity to serve at Grace Gospel Bible Church in this manner that I am. Colossians 3:23, and whatever you do, if you do it heartily as to the Lord to please Him, then you don't have to worry about pleasing me, because if it pleases Him, again, though, I'd like you to run it by me since I'm the pastor here and I'm the chairman of the board at the board level. I'd like to know what's going on so you don't just do something on your own. Thus, all service or ministry is to be done as unto the Lord for the glory of God. And then 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. You know, your service ministry should be a blessing to the body, an asset, not a liability to the body of Christ here. And it should be to honor and glorify Christ as we work together. Now, this doesn't mean, friends, that mistakes won't be made or need to be addressed as they come to my attention. We will seek to address those issues, hopefully, principally and graciously. Let's remember that Grace Gospel Bible Church is a grace ministry. We are all saved by grace. We are to serve by the grace of God. But that doesn't mean that grace has no standards or guidelines in ministry either. In other words, grace allows for challenges, which I'm trying to do this morning, concerning our attitudes in ministry. Corrections, another word I could use, that may be needed in some aspect of service. Perhaps we can do better or do it another way. Talk to me first before you seek to make some change or to do it on your own. I'd like you to run it by me. We are always seeking to bring our service to the Lord to a standard that is consistent and in step with the grace of God. We are not the world, nor any church that employs worldly gimmicks to attract or hold sheep. And so this is where an attitude of grace must prevail to be able to motivate all of us, you know. We're rubbing elbows with others and sometimes in disagreement here at Grace Gospel Bible Church. And how things are handled here when problems come, and they will, how we should work through them will determine where we're at in our maturity by the grace of God. We can either nitpick one another over how something was done or handled, and this will just cause friction and divisions among us, or we can look to the commander-in-chief and respond in faith, yielding to God, and reckon myself dead to sin and alive unto God for his honor and glory. So what's it going to be, people? Service rendered for the glory of God to the power of the Holy Spirit? Or just, let's just get her done. I mean, that's just the flesh. Let's just get her done. And oftentimes churches have that attitude. Let's just do it. Not worry about it. Nike theology. We need to trust that adjustments, when needed, will be made by God's grace through God's leaders here at Grace Gospel Bible Church, as directed by God's Spirit, while we seek to move forward for the glory of God. Let's keep in mind a saying that some missionary had made years ago. What's that saying? Walk softly, speak tenderly, pray fervently. Now, I'm changing that a little bit because this is what I'd like you to remember. Let's walk principally. What are the principles of the Word of God? Let's speak graciously with each the other, and let's pray fervently in our life here by the grace of God. I think that's how we need to be thinking, okay? So letter C on your handout, consider the importance of spiritual mindedness in one's service here at Grace Gospel Bible Church. I especially want to look at John 15. You don't have to turn there because I think I have the verse. Maybe not. We should probably turn to John 15. Take a left again. I think I'm running out of time here too. John 15. This is crucial. All service rendered must be done with this in mind. Okay? And the power of the Spirit of God, if it is to count. And that's why, you know, even for me to speak this morning, if I'm not in the Spirit and if I haven't prayed and looked to the Lord and asked the Lord for direction, this is just my thoughts and that's it. But if it's what the Word of God wants for us here in ministering in the body, then we can minister to each together. John 15:5, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Okay? And that's important. Without Christ, we are really empty. I've got that verse right here. Okay, we are our spiritual fuel tank runs on empty, not upon full. We need to plug into the Spirit of God in our life. He's the one that has to empower us to live the Christian life by faith. Okay? We want to hear a well done one day. So this program is the church, and all of us are saved, are part of that church. Now, I've got a flow chart here I'm going to put up. You got to just look up here to take all this in here because this is important. So again, in the Christian life, it all begins with the cross of Jesus Christ. So I'm talking to believers here who are saved by the grace of God. They've embraced the cross and they have salvation down in their thinking. So as we move ahead by the grace of God, as soon as you're saved, you know, there are tests of doctrine. In other words, God brings trials into your life. There's just no doubt about that. And this V stands for your volition, the ability to choose to either go with the Spirit of God or to go with your own thoughts in this thinking here, okay? So we all have volition, but first of all, let's look at those who have a positive volition in Christian or Christian life. You know, when they have a positive volition, there's divine goodness. There's evidence of that in our life as we walk by faith and depend upon the Lord. In light of that, there's steadfast endurance built into your life and built into my life. In light of that, there's spiritual maturity takes place in believers. When you're positive, because you've been saved by the grace of God, and you want the Word of God, but as life continues, you see there are just more tests of doctrine. All the time there are these trials that come into my life, like sciatic pain down your right leg. Ooh, I mean, what's this all about? I'm trying to look to the Lord here, trying to speak this morning. But on the other half, there are people who are saved now, who are negative in their thinking. They're saying no to God in their thinking. So what can they expect to get in the Christian life? Well, there's going to be sin. There's going to be a lot of human good, but human good can't do anything. And there's going to be this thing called temporal death. You're temporarily dead to God's will while you're alive spiritually, and you will go to heaven one day. Okay? And if that continues, there's weakness, there's instability in your life. And if that continues, there is spiritual retrogression or regression, and you get a hard heart in your Christian life, and that just brings you again to more tests of doctrine. Now think about this. You can either walk in the Spirit, or you can let the sin nature control you in the Christian life. But come judgment day for the believer, we're going to all one day stand before the judgment seat of Christ, right? And then when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, the spiritually minded believer who's been walking in the Spirit will expect rewards, and he will get a spiritual inheritance in regards to that. And those who's been negative now will have a loss of reward, and there'll be temporary shame for them in the Christian life. I just took some time to go through this because I just want people to see that we understand that you can be carnal in your Christian life. So this is complete. I'm just going to move on here now. I'm going to talk next about the makeup of man for a minute. So here's an x-ray of you, because we're a tripart being like God is. We have a body, and again, in this body, we have physical apprehension, but then our spirit and soul are the inner man, the immaterial part of man, the man that you don't see. We have some enemies. We have Satan, who uses the world to get into our thinking. From day one, we were taught principles from the day we were born physically, learning human viewpoint in life, how to operate, how to succeed by a human viewpoint. We also have a thing called the flesh, and this is the sin nature within every man. And this sin nature always wants to put me first in my Christian life. Now, it can produce human good. I mean, you can volunteer and you can do kind of things if you're a dead man to God, but we're predominantly dominated by sin. Now, this individual here is the typical unbeliever, okay? They have a physical body, they have a soul and spirit, but their human spirit is dead to God, but their soul is alive. And Satan is using the world to get into our thinking to teach us things from day one, how to put ourselves first, how to operate by a human viewpoint. And that's why this guy needs to be born again. If you're here and you're not saved, this is you right here. You're dead to God spiritually. And someone had to tell me about this, so I introduced me to Jesus Christ. And what did they have to say? That Jesus died on the cross there and rose again. He died for all of my sins. So my sins here were taken now and placed upon Jesus Christ on that cross, and he died for me. This is absolutely amazing. And when he told me, if you are willing to put your faith in Christ and believe in Christ, Dave, the moment you do, you will be born again. You'll have a new divine nature here in contrast to this sinful nature you were born with. All right? Now, this new divine nature has new desires. It wants to serve the Lord. It wants to do what's right, but it has no strength to do so. And when the new nature goes up against the sin nature wins every time. And that's why you can wind up in Romans chapter 7 and have your butt whipped and be miserable in your Christian life. But God knew that all along, and first of all, I should mention this, when I got a new nature, the sin nature became an old sin nature, and now there's this conflict that goes on between, am I going to run my life, or is God going to run my life? That's the question right here. Now, God knew I needed power, so he gave me the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit now wants to do two things. It wants to glorify Jesus Christ in my life, and it wants to point me to the Scriptures, because as I'm pointed to the Scriptures and I open my mind to teaching the Word of God, I can now operate by a divine point of view and begin to load Bible doctrine into my brain. Now, this is not left lobe versus right lobe. This is just a diagram to illustrate how this works in your life. Now, you can understand how this works in your life. You know, Satan wants to capture your mind, but God wants to capture your mind as well. So this is absolutely amazing. So the question is, who am I going to yield to? If I yield to the new nature and the Holy Spirit, I'm called the spiritual man, because now the doctrine I've been taught, I'm operating by a divine point of view. I'm operating by faith in my Christian life, and God can use me because I'm depending upon God, not upon myself. And it can cause you to relax in the Christian life. Enjoy the Lord. You have a relationship here to walk with, depend upon Him. But if I yield to the sin nature, and if I yield to the flesh, I'm the carnal man here, and I will operate in, out of a human viewpoint perspective. I will kick out human good in my life, but God says, I can't use human good. That's why you couldn't get saved by human good. God wants to now produce divine good works in my life. Are you getting all this and understanding this? I trust you are here. So let's consider being part of God's program today as it has eternal benefits. The amazing thing is what God has said. And what He said in Philippians 2, 12 through 16, more verses are on the next slide. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, He's asking these folks to work out their own salvation, but to do it with fear and trembling. Work out what God has worked in. See? This is second tense salvation. This is Christian life teaching. For it is God who works in you both to will, this is a desire, and to do, to practically implement it for His good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God. Notice that God wants to use you as His children of God without fault, though, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, just like we have here in the Twin Cities. But if you're thinking right, you can shine as lights in the world to those around you. How do I do that? By holding fast to the word of life, so that I may rejoice in Christ Jesus and I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Okay? So this is some things I want you to think about. Let me close here by making a few comments here. Let me thank those of you that serve here. And we could go to Romans 1, but I've got these right on PowerPoint and our time is short, so let me just mention first of all. If you're new and haven't found your niche yet here, you can always serve by praying for us or lending a hand as you see the need. Remember, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. You can pray for the leadership of this church. You can pray for the ministries that I've mentioned. You can pray for the believers here, and you can be involved. You can use the phone directory even to pray for one another if you haven't thought of that before. Most of our names are in there. If your name isn't in there, talk to Joe again. He'll show you how to get your name in there. If that's not enough, wait around for 10 minutes. After the service is over, you can pick up a chair or you can help set up for the potluck. That's coming next, okay? But note with me, Romans 1, 7 through 10, Paul wanted to thank those at Rome. He says, to all who are at Rome, beloved of God, called saints, he's writing to believers, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. Paul was what? He thanked the Lord for them. And that's exactly what I'm trying to do here this morning. Thank you, those of you that serve. That your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve, Paul said, with my spirit in the gospel of His Son. Paul was saved, and what did he do? He served. That without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Paul was praying for them, making requests if by any means, now at last I may come and find a way in the will of God to come to you. Paul wrote this letter. He hadn't been to Rome yet, but he wanted to go to Rome. He wanted to touch it, base with those people. So he says, let me thank God for those who serve here. Secondly, let me encourage those of you that serve here. How can I encourage you? Let's keep reading in Romans 1. He says, for I long to see you. Notice his desire. Paul wanted to be there rubbing elbows with the saints at Rome. Why? That I may impart to you some spiritual gift, some aspect of teaching or service or ministry. Why, Paul? Why did you want to do that? So that, here's a Hina clause, in order that you may be established further or matured in your, I should have put your development, as a local church. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you in this body concept. We are part of a body, friends. We are part of each other here. This is Very, very important to understand and to note. Okay? I think I have one more here. Let me challenge all of you who are 10 here, and let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15. Here, we got to go right to see this verse. This is a verse well worth seeing as we close this morning here. 1 Corinthians 15. 58. It's way in the back. Way in the back of 1 Corinthians 15. It's this last verse. Let's read it. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing or understanding that your labor is not in vain in the Lord here. Okay? So he says here in 1 Corinthians 15, therefore, my beloved brethren, he's writing to the believers here. He tells them to be steadfast. In other words, hang in there. He tells them to be immovable. You know, let's stand on the word of God that we have. Let's always be abounding in the work of the Lord. And that will take the Spirit of God for sure, because apart from the Spirit of God, we're not going to always abound. You know, we're not going to be steadfast. We're not going to be unmovable. Knowing, meaning understanding that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You pick up a chair and you do it as unto the Lord will count that for you, for a reward, okay? You give someone a cup of cold water in my name, like Jesus said, he'll take note of it. He'll count that for you in light of all that, okay? Just want to mention that so that you know your labor is not in vain if it's done in the Lord, if it's done for the power of God. Whether you're in the nursery, whether you're teaching, whether you're doing ushering, whatever you're doing, it counts in light of eternity. Now, I was thinking of this verse in Revelation 14:13, which says, then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors. When you die, you stop and you rest from your labors. No more work to be done. And that their works, their good works, follow them into eternity. Now notice that. God is taking note of you and me and what we do. If we're led by the Spirit, if we do what we do is unto the Lord for the glory of God, those works will follow you into eternity. God is telling us that. That's so encouraging to me. To know that, I trust that's encouraging to you. That's why C.T. Studd said, this only one life. It'll soon be past. And I sense I'm getting to the end of mine more and more. Only what's done for Christ will last. No doubt about that. No wonder Paul could write here in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. Yet not to me only, but also to all who love his appearing. Or the writer of Hebrews would say, you know, for God is not unjust to forget your work, notice this here, and labor of love, which you have shown towards his name, and that you have ministered to the saints, and you do minister to them. And we desire that each one of you will show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. But if you're here this morning and you're not saved, the first thing you need to do is to trust Christ as your personal Savior. You know, you're on the broad road here. I could draw this guy here on the broad road. And you're heading down the broad road. You're going to get into hell. You need to be born again. You need to take a sharp left here and go through the door. Jesus said, I am the door. If anyone enters in, they shall be saved. Because I have paid for their sins once and for all. And thus you can get on the broad road here, back here now, and you can find your way to heaven by the grace of God in life. And I trust you've trusted Christ. If you haven't, that's on you. I've tried to explain that to you so that you could be saved, you could be born again, you could walk out of here with new life. And I trust that's true. We should pray. I'm over. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your grace this morning. Again, for the teaching here on ministering within the body. You want us to minister. You want us to be part of each the other. And you want to use us, Father, And again, our labor is not in vain when done as unto the Lord and for the glory of God. Thank you for that. So we're just looking to you, Father, for today, for our potluck. We might enjoy our time together. We thank you for your goodness and grace. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going